Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week, this show will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your family. And we will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a favor. Now, please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know that can benefit from today's show. This is one powerful way we can make a positive difference together. Now, before we get to our guest, I want you to know that I am grateful to all of you that take your precious time to listen to or watch this show, and especially those that send in questions, comments, and reviews. And if you have suggestions and if you have questions, please send them in. As we go into the new year, we're going to be focusing a lot more on those questions. Now, if you haven't gotten your free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal yet, please go to our website at answersforthefamily.com and download a copy. Give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on, what focusing on gratitude has meant to you and your family. Now, I have two quotes today, and although they're not from the journal, but I believe that they will foreshadow today's subject pretty well. Now, the first is by Robert South. Problems can become opportunities when the right people come together. And the second is, every adversity contains at the same time a seed of equivalent opportunity. And that is by Napoleon Hill. So if that didn't foreshadow things, I'm not sure what could, because our topic today is also the title of our guest's new book, Quantum Activation, Transforming Obstacles into Opportunities. Our guest, Carl David Blake, obtained a Bachelor's of Science degree in biology and zoology and a master's degree in mass communication from the University of South Florida. Carl has written, produced, and directed 6 independent films. He is also a Guinness Book of World Record holder for the longest wedding train, which he used during the filming of his movie, The Differences Between Men and Women. Now, Carl studied story structure with Robert McKee, who is among the most widely known screenwriting lecturers in the world. He also studied film directing under Steve Mims, who also taught Robert Rodriguez, among other many accomplished directors. Now, you will find that Carl is very pragmatic in his earthly approach to the current problems that plague mankind. He is very astute and practical ways to look at situations and belief systems. In fact, Carl coined the term Borgioisic. It's the Borgioisic effect to explain the tension to remain mediocre because of the forces preventing people from obtaining excellence while miring them in diminishing mediocrity. Carl, welcome back to Answers for the Family.
Thank you so much for having me, Alan. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, it is my pleasure. And, you know, before we go into the book, share with the audience a little bit about your own personal spiritual journey.
That's a really good question. This book, I was looking and searching just the way everybody else was. What are we doing here? How do we get to the next level? What approach do I use? Do I go from spirituality to religion to meditation to we're looking at nutrition, everything? Where do I start? Who has the information? How do I go about this? Because we're constantly being bombarded with issues and problems and obstacles. And how do you get through these? So, you know, it was my journey that I grabbed, you know, the famous Dr. Amika Swami and the spiritualist Gary Stewart to go on this journey with me to find this out. This originally started, this book where I was doing the documentary on the human brain and wanted to know the capacity of the human brain. I got scientists all around the world ready to do this. And I also got invited to Switzerland from top neuroscience to see brain surgery the first time. It was one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen in my life. So that led me to this journey, towards this book. And now that, you know, COVID hit, that just took everybody for a loop. I saw one quote that I couldn't help but laugh. And somebody said, I bet every single person who had their 5-year goals got it wrong now.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of obstacles and a lot of obstacles. And I hope that we're going to get into some of these methodologies. But one of the ways you have to do is you have to be open to things. You have to keep your mind open. You have to look in a place you haven't seen before because you don't know all the answers. As long as you can find the answers, that's the thing. But you don't know all the answers. You know, there's things that you do that you just throw yourself out there. But then that's when the obstacles become the opportunities. Everybody moving who's in LA, you know, moving to LA, see what it's like going to another place, wherever it is. The top three stressors, right, is moving, switching jobs. And these are things that are forcing people to do all the time. So they're going to have to find a way to turn those obstacles into opportunities. And how do you do it? You just don't move. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you have the right mindset. You want to make sure that you're doing the things you need to do. And it is difficult to when I'm listening to so many motivational speakers, there's one very big spiritual leader that she's booked out 6 months at a time, even now, 6 months to a year. She won't take anybody unless they spiritually resonate with her. She interviews them before that. And she was saying today that there's a big power grab. There's a lot of people in these areas that should not be in these areas. So you have to use discernment. That's part of the obstacle. So that's something that we will discuss.
And along those lines, tell us a little bit about your co-authors and what you learned about them, you know, Amit and Gary.
Well, Amit is a famous quantum activist, mm-hmm. and he was going to be on the movie. He was actually the first person who said, Carl, I want to be on your movie, the documentary on the human brain. Gary was recommended to me by a celebrity crisis counselor here in Los Angeles. And Gary sometimes gets the people that when the other traditional methodologies don't work, he treats them through this constellation healing. So I asked him to come on board the book and the movie to handle the spiritual stuff that I didn't know that I'm still learning. And Amit handling the quantum stuff that, you know, he's the quantum activist. And there's a lot of spirituality and science merging in these technologies. And that's one of the big things about this book is science and spirituality have never been at odds. Monetized science is at odds. Monetized religion can be at odds. Monetized is when you monetize it. That's the major odds. Because when, you know, I will go into it further, but I want to, after this podcast, I'm hoping that people never say spirituality and science are at odds ever again.
I couldn't agree more. So what did you learn most when you were researching this book? Because you tackled a lot here.
Ooh, that's good. I would say that, again, the line I learned the same thing on the movie, on the documentary that I started putting together. But again, when COVID hit, I hadn't planned on doing this book. It was one of those things we just talked about and we toyed with the idea and we took notes. But now that the whole thing with the movie, just everything being put on hold, everybody's life in categories, this somewhere aspect you're being put on hold. I'm like, this is a perfect opportunity. Let's jump on it. And then that's what we did. So we took some of those. I would say the best thing, and you probably, my friends will say, Carl, you say this 1,000 times, I'll say it 1,001 times. Get the negative people out of your life. They affect you in ways you could not possibly imagine. Just get them. I know sometimes I've been there where every person in your life is negative. You just happen to surround yourself without cleaning up your spiritual life, then you're going to have to get rid of all of them. At least make the first step, even if you need to get help. There's nothing you can do for a person that is surrounded by that. So bring positive people into your life. And when you resonate that, people will come and seek you. They really do.
Well, I think it's great that, I mean, essentially what you did was that you sought an opportunity out of an obstacle and wrote a book about seeking opportunities out of obstacles.
I mean, yeah, that's it. That's it. Exactly. Exactly. And it didn't quite start that way. It was more, we were going to do some of the brain stuff. And then this book just people asked for it. One of the things that I was listening to while I was doing the movie, and the movie's great that it was delayed because I was really going into what exercise people can do physically, mentally, emotionally, all this stuff. And people didn't want to know that. People wanted to know, what am I doing here in life? What's my goal? What's my purpose? And that's what people really, really want to know. And we don't give ourselves permission to really go find our purpose. We got bills to pay. We got other things. And I get it. I totally get it. And that's really what drove the direction of the movie before the book came out and drove the direction of the book as well.
Well, I know you from movies. So
yes.
What was the hardest part, you who have written movies, to then make that shift to write a book?
A good question. I was a textbook author, and when we published with Harper and Row HarperCollins, they supplied the developmental editor, the copy editor, the proofreaders. They supplied all that. We actually hired somebody on top of it, but this time, you know, we did through Amazon, so we had to do everything. So the development, we had to get three people on the development, and that was the hardest thing. The development, if anybody wants to write a book out there, make sure you get a good developmental editor or else you're stuck in the water. That will be an obstacle. The first thing you want to do is make sure you get hire a developmental editor, if not two of them, especially if you're working with somebody else, because development is when you have all the information, all the chapters are in order, and all the sections are in order, and nothing is repeated, because when you write, you repeat tons of stuff like crazy. And then you go into, are there transitions between the paragraphs, between the chapters? Are there spelling mistakes? And then grammar, spelling, and punctuation come later. But when you work with three people, that brings more obstacles, because while you are ready to get past the development, somebody else might not be. So it constantly goes back into development. And a good developmental letter could help. And we didn't get one at first, and then I had to do it, and then we got these two other editors. So that would be much more challenging. And I know a famous director. I said, "You got to write a book." He says, "I can't find a good editor to work with." I said, "That's really smart. Just take the notes down right now, but you're going to need one." And I'm not talking about somebody grammar, spelling, punctuation. I'm talking about to make sure a lot of this stuff is in there, because just about a month before we published it, I deleted some things and I added a bunch more things that needed to be in there because of the transition. So that always helped. So working with several people, that's what I would tell everybody.
All right. Well, thank you. And we may be talking about that soon too. So what was the best yet sort of unexpected surprise that occurred while working on this book?
Oh, Deepak Chopra giving us a quote. Yeah, I never... If you would have told me last year, Carl, you're going to write a book before the movie and Deepak Chopra is going to give you a quote, I'm like, yeah, nah, get out of here. No, you know. But he really liked what we did here and he gave us a quote. We also got Dr. Parthanandi from the Parthanandi Show out of Detroit, who wrote the foreword. And I didn't know it. One of the other things I did not know is Amazon has a top 50, top 100 reviewers. And we got one of the top reviewers to give us, you know, a 5-star rating on it. And I didn't even know those people existed. I never heard of them. So it was a great learning experience. It hit, you know, the international bestseller on Amazon. And we're talking right now about possibly translating this into Portuguese. We're still toying with the idea. So, you know, all is good with it. And again, this was to launch the movie. And now that you do the book, people are listening to it. So, you know, instead of just handing somebody a proposal, which you do, now you have a book to that say, okay, this isn't exactly about the movie, and we wrote it to help launch the movie. I've got another film and I'm working on the book with that. So I'm working on another book right now. And I'm looking for another developmental editor because I got one. And when at the very beginning, it's very rough. So you have to, sometimes you have to get either that developmental editor to stick with you, or you have to get a second one.
Okay. Now, in the book, one of the things that you touched on, which I'm really glad that you did, but it reminded me of a book that Alan Bloom wrote in the 80s, which is The Dumbing Down of Our Society.
Oh, that's
so. And I read that book a couple of times, but a long time ago. And then when I read this in your book, I was like, yes, that's what, you know. So share a little bit about, you know, what your message is when you're putting that in the book to get people to understand.
That's a really good question. I taught college for 4 years. I was a college professor, a textbook author. And one of the things, because I was a textbook author, one of the things that I was able to do was to throw out the curriculum that they gave you and come up with my own. Mm-hmm. And the other teachers got jealous because they said, why can he do it? And I'm like, you could do it too, just throw it in the garbage. So they recommend you. So, and their recommendations are terrible. Most of the times they're just terrible. So when I taught freshman English, I remember my first year teaching, it was a place called Tampa College. It no longer exists. They got merged with something else years ago. And I remember the rites of passage, I got the worst classes, the night classes and the Saturday morning classes. And I couldn't get these students to pay attention. I said, I could teach you more than 3 hours and you could learn 3 months anywhere else. I need your attention. They said, we're tired, we're hungry. I said, I have all the parties you want. So I let them do that. Jealous and stuff. But I told them, I said, I'm going to teach you something. I said, you're not going to learn current events. You're not going to learn literature. You're not going to learn writing about literature. You're not going to learn writing about current events. You're not going to learn history. You're not going to learn art history. You're not going to learn music. You're going to do something you haven't done in English composition. You're going to learn English composition. We're going to start from sentences. We're going to go paragraphs to essays. All right. So I know how to do this. But what's happening here is everybody's got to have a chance. Everybody, last place gets all the ribbons. So now you have people who are teaching in college that couldn't even teach in high school years ago. Literally, when I'm looking at this, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Candace Owens, I won't mention the guy's name, but she debated this guy who was a college professor. And listening to him debate, if I just heard them, I didn't see them, I would think this guy was special needs. I mean, he was that deficient. He lost every single argument. You saw the comments like, if this is a college professor, I would never send my kids to college. So this dummying down, there's a lot of reasons, but it's very, very, very dangerous to a society. Mm-hmm. Because you need competence to run a society. You need competence to overcome the obstacles. You know, right? If you have a problem, you never say, can I, if you had a tax problem, you wouldn't go to one of your friends. Could you send me the dumbest accountant you've ever heard? Right? You want to say, I need somebody good. Give me a tax accountant. Give me a tax attorney. I need somebody good. I need somebody in real estate. I got this real estate deal. You want to always know somebody good. Everybody wants somebody good and competent, but we have this whole thing. And it's really, really dangerous to society. And this dumbing down, when we used to be number one in the world of education, we're 53rd now, that's frightening. So a lot of these obstacles, what we need to also do is to start promoting competence. There is something, and I wanted to coin this phrase, but these guys did it, called the, I want to make sure I get it, the Dunning-Kruger effect. The Dunning-Kruger. It is the most outstanding. Look it up. Google it after I explain it to you. I put it in the book. The Dunning-Kruger effect is a mental disorder where people drastically overrate their own talents. And and it is rampant in the United States. For example, let's say that I can bench press 357 and a half, and I tell everybody 360. That's not, it's lying if I didn't do it in competition, but to tell people that it's not real, it's a little, they call it puffery. Puffery gets about 5% over it. But if I can only bench press 100 pounds and I'm telling people I can do 360, that's just lie. There's something wrong with you. All right. We have that all throughout the United States. Example, I was in Salt Lake City just a couple weeks ago. I was interviewing a cinematographer. And I said, have you used a Phantom camera, 1,000, 2,000 frames? She's like, oh, yeah, I know all that. And I said, do you know a lot of editors around here? Oh, yeah. I know everybody in town. I know all the editors in town. I said, good, because I want to find out who has a Phantom camera. I'm going to send you down there so you can get sample footage for free and give it to one of your editor buddies. And he goes, huh? I said, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to get a guy who owns the Phantom camera, let you shoot it, hand you the footage, go bring to your editor. He goes, well, I only know one editor. Bam. That is the Dunning-Kruger effect. You know, you sit there. I come from the background where you always downplay your stuff. Like when the places where I worked in IT, they used to call me Mr. Vizio because I was that good at Vizio. And they say, you're an expert. I said, no, I'm not an expert. There's so many things in there I don't know how to use. I'm just really good at big picture. So I'm the opposite. And I think you probably come from, just knowing you, you're more humble. You come from the opposite. You don't sit there, you know, and for the audience, you were one of the first people I met when I moved to LA. Okay. You and Logan were the, you know, and I attended one of your seminars at Agape Church there. So that's, and it was right around the corner from where I lived. Mm-hmm. So I've known you for about 9 years. Yeah. So anyway, for the audience, that's how I know Alan. But going back to this is really dangerous because right now, when you have people building engines and you want people who are competent. You want people, like, for example, on this whole COVID, we see so much incompetence going all across. No one knows what to believe. No one knows what to do. People don't realize the Department of Health should have handled the first level immediately. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's shut down. No shut. They should have been on top of this. We pay them of every single state. It should have not even gone to the CDC at that moment and asked them have it. It should have been there. They should have, you know, when you see something like that, they should have had all the protocols. They should have been cleaning up the tables fast. They shouldn't have shut down a restaurant so fast. They should have had all those protocols in place. And, you know, I'm not on one side or the other. I'm like, why is there so much incompetence? Why aren't the people doing what they're supposed to be doing? You know, keeping the restaurants clean, keeping the coffee shops clean. I don't think that's a lot to ask for. You know, wiping down the tables, wiping down the doors a little bit more. They do have somewhere in the back of their cabinets, first level protocols when these things happen. None of them are used. So we are dealing with so much incompetence and we're just expect it now. And these are obstacles because you want people who know what they're doing. And you also want to surround yourself with people who know what they're doing. But the Dunning-Kruger effect is massive. And I wish I could have coined the term, but I got to give those guys credit because they already explained it.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about the phrase that you did coin because it talks about this
bureaucracy
thing. And it talks about the fact as to why, it's one of the things I'm going to ask you. So why do you think it has been a goal and doing it through our school systems to push for the mediocrity? But we're going to take a break first. So for everybody out there, stay with us. We're talking about transforming obstacles into opportunities. We're speaking with Carl David Blake. We'll be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585. Or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. Our guest is Carl David Blake, and we're talking about his book, Quantum Activation, Transforming Obstacles into Opportunities. So, Carl, tell us a little bit. We were talking about a phrase that you coined, and it refers to this push for mediocrity.
Right. Yes. Our society is basically, you know, set up today to be mediocre. You know, and you have a lot of this, you know, they call it crabs in the barrel when you have people pulling you down and dragging you down. Well, the bourgeoisie effect is not only the crabs in the barrel, but it's the entire system, because there's a lot of things that are holding us down. Look at what, you know, again, what this COVID did with people who wanted to do great things and had their businesses, great businesses, and then somebody just knocked them out. You know, so now one of the things, I'm so glad you mentioned that, I hear so many motivational speakers just talk about just do it. Do what? What is this it thing that you're doing? You know, you have to be clear about what you're doing. You just can't do it. You know, I agree you have to take chances, but there's something called, I would love, and I challenge every motivational speaker out there to talk about the barrier of entry. The barrier of entry is how you get into something. For example, there was this woman who opened up a great coffee shop over here off of Venice in Los Angeles. And I asked her, how did you do it? How did you go about doing all of the obstacles? She said, Carl, it was tremendously hard. It took 30 months of permitting, and I did everything as fast as possible. So you have to carry the rent for 30 months. She had one person buy the land, one person buy the coffee shop, and she partnered with a roaster. So she obviously, the best coffee shops are roasters. So you're not just do it. It wasn't even just about the money. And one of my dreams was to open up a coffee shop with like five or six of my friends when we didn't need the money in a city we loved. And then when we retire, we just go there one week, just talk to everybody and just make some money. You know, I think that would be a great idea. But right now, what's happening, you know, is there's a massive barrier to entry. And they're not telling everybody this. You know, what is the barrier to entry? And if you don't know that, then you're going to crash. Those are all obstacles you have to get by. So you might want to do it in another city or another state, wherever. It's good to come up with your plan. And then now there's a barrier to continuity. Look what happened here. So, and it's like that in a lot of fields. So you know, I was ready to do the movie. There was definitely a barrier to entry in there, and I couldn't get anything done. Everybody's budgets just got, you know, everybody thinking about put on hold, and nobody even knows about distribution. Nobody's going to the theaters. So how do you get the money back for the people who are investing in it? It's just a massive shift. So I just wrote a book instead, and I'm writing a second book for another one. And then when I can figure out distribution, if anybody else can figure it out, what's happening, and I'm seeing, you know, a lot of other distribution outlets and how those things are going to work. So this is something that is causing that mediocrity, because they're really not discussing what you need to do to move out of that mediocrity. And one of the things is to get to, I actually had a diagram on this. I didn't get a chance to get it in a book, but it's in the movie, to get to a better place where you want to get to a table where you're around intelligent, positive people and who are knowledgeable. So you can get past these obstacles and you can, the barrier to entry, barrier to continuity. You have to learn these things and you have to, you know, write these out. So these natural forces, not just the crabs in the barrel, the negative people that drag you down, but also other issues where you have governmental issues. You got to pay taxes. It'd be nice if you didn't have to say, I want to start a business, I don't want to pay taxes this year. But these are real things that you have to write down. And this really squishes a lot of people. And a lot of people do it in different areas. I know one guy who opened up a spiritual center in Peru. And it would have taken him 3 years here. He opened up next month. And he's going to build like a whole new kitchen. And he goes to the government. He says, well, I'm going to build a kitchen. Where do I get a permit? He goes, what are you talking about? A permit for the kitchen. He said, well, what country do you come from that you got to ask us permission to build a kitchen? And I didn't even think about that. So there's a lot of, you know, business continuity, and I wish other people would start talking about it. That is the process of the bourgeoisic effect, because it's not just the crabs in the barrel. It's the educational system that has been dumbed down. It's the rules and regulations, and you know, whether, you know, you're a Trump fan or not, when he was talking about getting rid of a lot of regulations, I hope that they weren't just for the big business. I hope they were for us too. This, if you could build a coffee shop in 2 months, why can't you get it up and running? They built the Empire State Building, coffee shop built and run for 30 months. There's something wrong with that. That is part of the bourgeoisic effect. So you might want to do it in another area.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. And when you were telling me that, it was reminding me of someone who started a retail business, but a restaurant. But they had had a restaurant in South America, and they moved to Ohio, and they opened one up in Ohio, and they said that they realized that it took a little longer in the United States, you know, because they said that, you know, rather than being able to start immediately, it took them a couple of months to get the permits and things like that, but they understood it. Well, they did so well there, they wanted to move to California, so they moved to Southern California to try to open up the same thing. And just like you said, but they went 2 years and then said, forget it. We've lost enough money. They didn't open the restaurant because the bureaucracy drug them through the mud for 2 years. And they just couldn't imagine that it was that much different from California to Ohio.
Yes. Yes. Perfect example. Yeah. Perfect example. And this is a model that worked twice for them. It worked in South America and it worked in Ohio. It was already a successful model.
Yeah.
Nobody told them about the barrier to entry.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I really feel that a lot of these motivational speakers are, granted, you don't know what the field somebody's going into, but they're saying that it's just the attitude. These people had the right attitude and they got squashed. And so that is part of the bourgeoisic effect, to make sure that you're around the knowledgeable people and you're making those type decisions. But without a doubt, it's brutal to open up a business here. I know a guy who had a crepe place downtown, successful. And one of the big businesses says, knock him out because we want that space, double his rent. So that, and if you double his rent, we'll you know, sign a 7-year lease and we'll just pay you 10% more. And they knocked him out. He moved over to France. So that's a barrier to continuity. So I'm not saying that don't try that stuff. What I'm just saying is you need to learn this. This is part of the bourgeoisic effect. It's these rules, regulations, government agencies. If you came from a crappy family, you don't have that support to do other things. All of that, it's not just crabs in the barrel. It's everything. So you got the crabs in the barrel pull you from the bottom. The regulations push you from the top. And the only way out is to you know, with a positive attitude, knowledge, ability to put yourself around good people, and then talk. So if I were going to open up a restaurant in Ohio, I would probably ask you, Alan, can you connect me with these people? You know, I'll buy the guy dinner. You know, maybe you could give me some pointers. Instead of going over there assuming I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, and that works also in the movie business that you're in, because I know that you mentioned Logan. Logan and I were all ready to make this movie. We had an investor and we're ready to go. And fortunately, a director friend of ours said, I'm going to connect you with somebody who has already made X amount of films, because as much as I love you guys and as much as I think that you're very intelligent, Hollywood will eat you up and spit you out and you'll be hating life. Your investor will hate you. You know, everything's because you can't just walk in and do it until you see all of the ways in which things are done that you might not be able to deal with right up front. So unfortunately we did. And that was some of the best advice that we've ever been given.
Yeah, I got to ask you about it, because I'm going to ask you about that advice too before I hit the ground running for sure. And that's part of, in the middle of the bourgeoisic effect, it's called the table. The table is where you have your knowledge, you have your, you need positive, and then, you know, I would put you in that table, because that's where I would ask, you know, those questions. Exactly. That's exactly. And I cannot tell you how many motivational speakers I said, these people just want some money and going to run these poor people right off the edge of the cliff. You know, exactly what we talk about. This is real stuff. You know, this is real stuff. And, you know, we need to adjust to it. So the knowledge part is so important.
Well, I think if we take a step back from that and we make the changes necessary in our school system, then people are going to be smart enough that they're not going to have to worry about if they're being steered one way or the other. They're going to know the difference and hopefully make better decisions.
And that goes twofold, because once you have those educated people, and I was a legislative analyst in the government, and I saw bills be made, so be a legislative analyst, and then the head one's an attorney. So I was a divisional one. And I just, every day I was like, I cannot believe this is the way laws are made. I cannot believe this stuff. Why didn't they teach us this? Forget about George Washington chopped down a cherry tree. You should know what House bill and Senate bill means and how it's being taken through and how they could change stuff and how they can tack things on there. And that's one of the things that, you know, we're suffering from is a lack of knowledge. I mean, even Jesus said, my people suffer from lack of knowledge. I mean, he couldn't have been any more right.
Yeah. Well, we have some questions that have come in. And again, sure. I want to thank those people that take the time to send in these questions. And I want you to know I will always do everything I can to get to them. So, Carl, this one reads, my whole life changed in June of this year when my brother unfortunately died from a sudden heart attack. I've had some pretty strange things happen where I can feel him near me. A friend said to me that this is what it is like when you, in quotes, wake up, which is what happened, and I did understand it at first. I have been consuming book after book on the afterlife, spirituality, quantum entanglement, etc. I read the Answers for the Family newsletter last week and happened to see your show title on the list. If ever there was a time when I need to transform obstacles into opportunities, this is the time. I am all set to buy your book and start sharing, but I have a question. Can you explain what you mean by quantum activation? And can you give us a couple of examples on how to activate it? And this is from BJ in Newport Beach, California.
Excellent. Excellent question. Quantum activation is really, the book was, how do you start? How do you start with this thing? Because you have all of these, I don't want to call them fake, but I will say as one of the best spiritualists I know, she said it's a power grab. So you're doing the right things. So what you want to do is you want to build your team as you do this. It's okay to talk to a counselor. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a coach, because I don't know the situation you're in. So the first thing you want to do is you might want to talk to get a little professional help and then have them guide you. Look at them as a coach. You know, people are asking that question mostly with the movie. And that's why I had to change the focus of the movie, because people weren't asking, you know, how you enhance the brain, how you do this. They want to know what happens after you die. How do you get in touch with the other side? What's going on? So I would say the next thing is you want to do get yourself a spiritual advisor. You know, like I've talked to some on the movie and they were not real, and I had to weed them out. One of the things, anybody on the movie, I said, you have to give us 2 free sessions, even to be on the movie, even to consider. And I will go to one and I will send somebody else to one, and we're both going to rate you unless you get an excellent rating. I wouldn't let you in the movie. So I say to this person, and this is something that whether this tragically, because, excuse me, because his brother passed away, I don't know the emotional state he's in right now. So I would say the best thing to do is be consult somebody, a professional could help you with that, because you're really asking 2 very different questions. You're asking a question of, you know, getting over that grief, and the other, what's happening to the other side, because you don't actually have to go through the grief in order to do that other side. So you want to ask around, and that's why you want to bring good people. You want to get around and get some spiritual leadership. There might be some recommendations. I tried Reiki the first time on the book, and it was phenomenal. I highly recommend it. You know, years ago. And this is the difference between the spirituality. I'm going to cover this for a second, because remember, what I always tell people is spirituality is the untested science. Remember, there was a Chinese methodology of healing where they took needles and jabbed you, right? And so what's this crazy stuff, right? Once it started working, and they called it acupuncture over here, now insurance covers it. It's no longer even woo-woo. It's just, it's a medical procedure. So this keeps happening. It keeps happening with, you know, massage was like that years ago. Now Reiki, I guarantee you, watch this show in about 5-10 years, Reiki is going to be covered by insurance 5-10 years from now, somewhere, maybe not America, then Canada or Europe, somewhere Reiki is going to be, where it's on, you know, healing by the hands. So I recommend you talking to a spiritualist and seeing those methodologies as well, because there's like, there's spiritual hypnotists, there's spiritual, you know, you have like Reiki masters, you have past life regression, you have so many. And I don't have any one specific recommendations for you, but I highly recommend get your team and pick up a copy of our book, because it shows how to start with this stuff. It's not fluffy like the other books. Oh, everything's wonderful. No, it goes into the science. It tells you what quantum mechanics is. It tells you what quantum activation, it tells you what spirituality is. And it goes over a lot of people who are doing this remote viewing. And there's a lot of stuff that you have to learn. You have to be willing to learn, and you have to be willing to read it, watch the videos. Well, you know, you have to study. Like Alan said, we should have taught all this in grade school. A lot of this stuff in grade school, you shouldn't learn this when you're in middle age. I mean, it's good that you're learning it then, but that's part of the bourgeoisic effects. Why didn't they teach you this stuff? You know, why didn't they teach you, you know, about basic nutrition in school? Really stuff you should know. We used to have gym class like once every other week. We should have had it every single day for 2 hours a day. You know, when you look at things, it's a balance. But so for this gentleman, good question. Pick up the book, start your journey, and build your spiritual team.
All right. Well, we've only got about 5 minutes. I've got a few more questions.
Sure.
I want, there's some things that you talk about where you address specific groups of people. So what's the number one thing that you would tell young people in particular?
I'm going to say the same thing again. Get rid of the negative people out of your life. It will lead you. You also only have a certain amount of time. You become the 5 people you hang out with mostly. You're influenced by the top 12 you hang out with. And you get influenced by the top 12. People will introduce you to the right people if you're around the right people. And they'll see that you have that need. And they'll see that. So right now, you know, you're introduced to this podcast. You got the book. Yeah, and if anybody needs to get in touch with me, get in touch with Alan, and I'll be glad to help anybody on their journey.
Well, and actually, while we're on that, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah, you can get in touch with my. You want to give my email address?
Whatever you're comfortable with giving.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just go to my Instagram, Carl David Blake 1. And that's my Instagram. And you just click there and my email address will be on there. So go on my Instagram. It's mostly food, but go on my Instagram, Carl David Blake 1. And that's, and my email address, just click on the email address there.
All right. And I know I have your email address, so I'll try to put the email address. Some of our people may not have Instagram. So, you know,
maybe, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. As long as you go to the answersforthefamily.com, we'll have ways in which you can get a hold of Carl. So same question, but what's the one thing that you would tell elderly people?
Oh, good. I got this from the Swiss neurosurgeon. Stay curious about everything. Absolutely number one thing to help your brain. Stay curious about everything. Learn this. How does this work? How does this work? How does this work? So while you're on your journey and while you're going through the obstacles, ask questions about everything. If you're not asking questions, I forgot what the doctor said. A famous doctor said that my patients who argued with me lived the longest. The patients who didn't ask questions, who took the medication, no matter what I gave them, always died sooner.
That's a great point. So I've got another question. Okay, so I know that we have a lot of teachers that listen or watch, and we also have some writers. So for the writers watching or listening, which do you believe is a quicker path to getting a movie or TV series made from your work, a well-written novel or a well-written script?
Oh, put both of those. The story is number one. Story is number one. Whenever you don't like a movie, you know, it's always the story. Story is number one. So what my learning just now, because of the obstacles, I would say if you can do both, if you have a good script that's not moving and you could do the book, write the book with it. You got a punch, right? Because now that I got this book out and, you know, international bestseller, Deepak Chopra gave his quote. Now when I talk to the movie, when things start moving, people are going to listen to me more because of the book. So see if you can do both. And besides, you might be better at the book. You might be a massive novelist. And you may never even get the screenplay, and you might be world famous, and you're keeping yourself down. Absolutely, do both.
Okay, well, I like that answer, but at the same time, so you have somebody they're in quarantine and they want to get it out. You know, they want to make, their goal is to make a movie. So the question then becomes, which one should they put most of their energy in? Which is going to be a quicker path to getting a movie?
As of right now, I would probably say, because I don't know when things are going to open up. So I would say the book first. I would, you know, I'm doing the book on the next screenplay. I'm kidding. On the next two screenplays, I'm doing the book on the next two one. Because there was one that I got in the top 10% of the Nickel Awards, which is the most prestigious awards for screenwriting. And I'm converting that into a movie and a book right now. I'm doing both of them, writing both of them at the same time. Because if you are struggling trying to sell a script, and that's one of the hardest things in the world, because one of the big producers told me every place she goes to, her dentist, her doctor, her lawyer, her friend's children, they all want to throw a script at her. The joke in Hollywood is asking, walking down the street, tapping somebody on the shoulder, say, how's the script coming along? And they say, oh, great. I said, how do they know? There's so many floating around. So if you want to go that route and do it, but explore all things today, because now that there's all of these obstacles in getting your movie made, because the theater's closed, a lot of people don't know, you also have these other opportunities that were just not open to you right now. What's happening with Amazon and how you could do it, you could literally publish a book for nothing. You know, before it was, and have it, them ship everything. And I didn't know about all this stuff. You know, I published the old fashioned way where you had to, you know, rock 'em, sock 'em robots and plead and do a book proposal and get references. And then they give you a deal 2 years later. And then it takes 2 years to get it done. And now you could do it. If you have it today, if you wrote it one day, you could get it tomorrow. So you want to see those as opportunities. I don't want anybody to limit, in that Bourgeoisic effect, limit what they want to do. If they're a great writer, there's so many other avenues besides just the screenplay. So that's what I want to.
All right. So we're just about out of time, but here's another, this is a comment that's come in and apparently they're referring to your website. But it says, everyone I know is trying to stay calm under the new lockdowns issued for the holidays, but our patience is running out. There is more anxiety among people than I have ever witnessed in my entire life. There is a paragraph I found on your website that I know must be important, but would really like more clarity on it. The sentence starts with, conversely, it seems the universe of human experience is based upon polarities. This means that any negative experience feeds the positive in order to restore balance and harmony. Conversely, it also means the positive can feed the negative, and an opportunity for change, adaptation, seems to be the grandest paradox of all. Thank you for bringing us this info. That is from Benny, and we've only got about 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yes, because you have to look at the opportunities in the obstacles, and it's the hardest thing in the world to do. It's the hardest thing in the world too. This is also a time when people's friendships are solidifying, and you're seeing. So a lot of the anxiety is seeing your fake friendships, right? Called friend acquaintances. They're not really friends. They kind of pretend as friends, and you don't want to put a safety net on the cement. You want to put it above the cement. And most people's friendships are a safety net on the cement. And when they hit, they're going to hit the ground. So you're learning, and it doesn't mean that it's going to be easier. It doesn't mean it's going to be easier, but it's just going to get better. And that's what you got to look at.
Well, Carl, thank you so much. I wish we had some more time because I love talking with you. You said that you're working on another one. Let's get you back on as soon as that one's ready to go.
Excellent, Al. Thank you so much again.
All right, Carl. Take care. Okay. Now, for everybody out there. So it says, I can think of no better way to launch our, to launch the name of this show. The new name of this show is going to be Answers.network. And the best way to do that, I believe, is by bringing back Mark Victor Hansen and Crystal Dwyer Hansen, the co-authors of Ask, The Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. And if you don't ask the questions, you won't find the answers. That's what we want to bring you. In this interview, they will discuss how learning the art and science of asking questions can completely transform your life. It starts by introducing the idea of an awareness-empowered bridge that leads from your dreams to your destinies. So for everybody out there, please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, where you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spreaker, YouTube, Instagram, and SoundCloud. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people, and I want you to know that I greatly appreciate it. For everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.